So we're starting at text 74. Charitamrita Madhyalila, chapter 12. Actually, we'll start at singing. We're just going to chant the text and the translations. Start at text number 72. Because there's some relevant verses and a little purport. So we'll chant all the Sanskrit, the Bengali, followed by the translation. Let's see if I've got the eyesight to reach it. Padicha kahe ame shabha seva katomar yetomar itcha se ye kartavya amara. If you do it responsibly, it's going to take too long, I think. So I'll just chant it and listen to the translation when I read it. Pratamai kasimi shre prabho bolaila padicha patra sarva sarva bomo bolanila. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first of all called for Kashimishra, then for the superintendent of the temple, then for Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Tina Janna Pashe Prabhu Hashiya Kohito Tina Janna Pashe Prabhu Hashiya Kahila Kundicha Mandira Marjana Seva Maginila. When these three people came before the Lord, he begged them for permission to wash the temple known as Gundicha. When these three people came before the Lord, he begged them for permission to wash the temple known as Gundicha. Now text 74. Padiche kahe ame sabha seva ka tomara ye tomara ichcha se kartavya amara. Upon hearing the Lord's request for permission to wash the Gundicha temple, the Padicha, the superintendent of the temple, said, "My dear sir, we are all your servants. Whatever you desire is our duty to perform." Vishese rajara agna hanache amare prabhura agna yehi saisa sigra kartahare. The king gave a special order for me to do without delay whatever your lordship orders. I'm going to leave this aside. I can't read the writing. Oh dear. We've started washing the temple already. It's all right, I've got to do it with my own cloth. This is the standard. Visheshesha rajara agna hanache amare prabhura agna yei sei shigra haribhare. The king gave a special order for me to do without delay whatever your lordship orders. Tomorrow yogya seva nahe mandira marjan e eka lilakara ye tomara manna. My dear lord, washing the temple is not service befitting you. Nonetheless, if you wish to do so, it is to be accepted as one of your pastimes. Did you bring the brushes? Not yet. किन्तु गतः समर्जनि बहुता चाहिया अग्न देह अजि सब थानमि थन अनि देहिया. To wash the temple, you need many water pots and brooms. Therefore, order me, I can immediately bring all these things to you.
Nutana eka shata gatas, nutana eka shata gatas sata samarjani, padicha aniyadila prabhu ichajani.
As soon as the superintendent understood the desire of the Lord, he immediately delivered 100 new water pots and hundreds of brooms, and 100 brooms for sweeping the temple.
Aradine prabhate lana nijagana, shihaste sabara ange lapila chandana.
The next day, early in the morning, the Lord took his personal associate with him and with his own hand smeared sandalwood pulp on their bodies.
Shri haste dila sabare eka eka marjani sabagana lana prabhu chalila apani.
He then gave each devotee a broom with his own hand, and taking all of them personally with him, the Lord went to Gundicha.
Gundicha mandire gela karite marjana patame marjani lana karila shodhana.
In this way, the Lord and his associates went to cleanse the Gundicha temple. At first, they cleansed the temple with the brooms. Text 82.
Bitara mandira upara sakala majiya singasana majipuna stapane karila.
The Lord cleansed everything inside the temple very nicely, including the ceiling. Then he took up the sitting place, singasana, cleansed it and again put it in its original place.
Chautabada mandira kaili marjana shodhana pache taiche shodhila shri jagamohana.
Thus the Lord and his companions cleansed and swept all the temple buildings, big and small, and finally cleansed the area between the temple and the kirtan hall.
Charidike shatta bhakta samarjani kare apani shodhina prabhu shikana sabare.
Indeed, hundreds of devotees were engaged in cleansing all around the temple, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was personally carrying out the operation just to instruct the others.
Premolase shodhina layena krishna nama bhakta gana krishna kahe kare nija kama.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu washed and cleansed the temple in great jubilation, chanting the holy name of Lord Krishna all the time. Similarly, all the devotees were also chanting and at the same time performing their respective duties.
Dhuli dushara tanu dekhite shobhana kahan kahan ashu jale kare samarjana.
The entire beautiful body of the Lord was covered with dust and dirt. In this way, it became transcendentally beautiful. At times, when cleansing the temple, the Lord shed tears, and in some places, he even cleansed with those tears.
Bhogamandira shodhana kari shodhila prangana sakali abhasa krami karila shodhana.
After this, the place where the deity's food was kept, the Bhogamandir, was cleansed. Then the yard was cleansed, and then all the residential quarters, one after another.
Trinaduli jinkura sabha ekatra kariya bahir basilana palaya bahira kariya.
After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu collected all the straw, dust, and grains of sand in one place, he gathered it all in his cloth and threw it outside. Following Ei Mata Bhakta Gana Karini Jabase Trina Duli Bharirai Pelaya Paramaharise. Following the example of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the devotees, in great jubilation, began to gather straws and dust with their own cloths and throw them outside the temple. Prabhu kahe ke kata hari, excuse me, Prabhu kahe ke kata kariyache samrijana, trina dhuli dekhilai janiba parishrama. The Lord then told the devotees, I can tell how much you have labored and how well you have cleansed the temple simply by seeing all the straw and dust that you have collected outside. Sabara jantana boja ekatra karila sabahaite prabhura boja adika haiela. Even though the devotees collected dirt in one place, the dirt collected by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was much greater. Ei mata abhyantara karila majana puna sabakare dila kariya vantana. After the inside of the temple was cleansed, the Lord again allotted areas for the devotees to cleanse. Shmukshvaduli trina kankara shabakara hadura balamate shobhana kara balamate shodhana karaha prabhura atapura. The Lord then ordered everyone to cleanse the inside of the temple very perfectly by taking finer dust, straws and grains of sand and throwing them outside. Shabha Vaishnab Lana Yabe Duibara Shodhila Deki Mahaprabhura Mane Shantosha Haila. After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all the Vaishnavas cleansed the temple for the second time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very happy to see the cleansing work. Ara Sata Jana Sata Kate Jalabhari Pratimai Lana Ache Kala Abshakari. While the temple was being swept, about 100 men stood ready with filled water pots, and they simply awaited the Lord's order to throw the water from them. Jala Anna Baliyabe Mahaprabhu Kahila Tabe Satagata Ani Prabhu Age Dhila. As soon as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called for water, all the men immediately brought the 100 water pots, which were completely filled, and delivered them before the Lord. Pratame karila prabhu mandira prakshalana udva adobiti griha majya singhasana. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first washed the main temple, and then thoroughly washed the ceiling, the walls, the floor, the sitting place, Singhasan, and everything else within the room. Kapara bhariya jale udve chalaila se jale udva shodhi bita prakshalila. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself and his devotees began to throw water onto the ceiling. When this water fell, it washed the walls and floor. Shri Haste Karena Singhasanera Marjana Prabhu Age Jala Ani Deha Bhakti Gana. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to wash the sitting place of Lord Jagannath with his own hands, and all the devotees began to bring water to the Lord. Bhakta Gani Kare Griha Madhya Prakshalana Nija Nija Haste Kare Mandira Marjana. All the devotees within the temple began to wash. Each one had a broom in his hand, and in this way they cleansed the temple of the Lord.
Keha jala anideha mahaprubarak. Keha jale anideha mahaprubara kare. Keha jale deha tanre charana upare.
Someone brought water to pour into the hands of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and someone poured water on his lotus feet. The water that fell from the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was drunk by someone who had hid himself. Someone else begged for that water, and another person was giving that water in charity.
Garudhui pranalikaya jalajadi dhila sehi jale prangan na sabha bhariya rahila.
After the room was washed, the water was let out through an outlet, and then it flowed and filled the yard outside. Only 20 more verses to go, so.
Nija bastri kaila prabhu griha samharjana mahaprabhu nija bastri majila sanghasana.
The Lord mopped the rooms with his own clothes, and he polished the throne with them also.
Shatagata jale haila mandira marjana mandira shodhya kaila yena nija manna.
In this way, all the rooms were cleansed with 100 water pots. After the rooms had been cleansed, the minds of the devotees were as clean as the rooms.
Nimala shitala snigda karila mandire apana hridaya yena darila bahire.
When the temple was cleansed, it was purified, cool and pleasing, just as if the Lord's own pure mind had appeared.
Shata shata jana jala bare sarovare gate stana nahi keha kupe jala bare.
Since hundreds of men were engaged in bringing water from the lake, there was no place to stand on the banks. Consequently, someone began to draw water from a well.
Purna kumbalane aise shata bhakta gana shunya gata lana yaya arashata jana.
Hundreds of devotees brought water in the pots, and hundreds took the empty pots away to fill them up again.
Nityananda dvaita svarupa bharati puri. Nityananda advaita svarupa bharati puri inha binu arashaba anhe jala bhari.
With the exception of Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Acharya, Swarup Damodar, Brahmananda Bharati and Paramananda Puri, everyone was engaged in filling the water pots and bringing them there.
Gate gate teki kati gata bange gela shata shata gata loka tahan lana aila.
Many of the water pots were broken when people collided with one another, and hundreds of men had to bring new water pots to fill.
Jalabhare gharadoya kare haridvani Krishna haridvani nina aray nahi shuni.
Some people were filling the pots and others were washing the rooms, but everyone was engaged in chanting the holy name of Krishna and Hari.
Krishna Krishna kahi kare gatera parthana Krishna Krishna kahi kare gata samarpanna.
One person begged for a water pot by chanting the holy names Krishna Krishna, and another delivered a pot while chanting Krishna 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 Krishna
Krishna, Krishna.
Ah, but Krishna Krishna. Yehi yehi kahi tehi kahi Krishna name, Krishna nama haila sankete sabakame. When anyone had to speak, he did so by uttering the holy name of
Krishna.
Consequently, the holy name of
Krishna
became an indication for everyone wanting something.
Prema beshe Prabhu kahe Krishna Krishna nama, ekale prema beshe kare shata janer kama.
As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was vibrating the holy name of Krishna in ecstatic love, he himself was performing the work of hundreds of men.
Shata haste karena hena kshalana marjana, prati jana pashe yai karana sikshana.
It appeared as though Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were cleansing and washing with 100 hands. He approached every devotee just to teach them how to work.
Balakarma dekitari kare pramasana kare prasamsana mane na milile kare pavitra bartsana.
When he saw someone doing nicely, the Lord praised him. But if he saw that someone was not working to his satisfaction, he immediately chastised that person, not bearing him any grudge.
Tumi bale kariyache shikana anyare, ei mata bala karma seho yena kare.
The Lord would say, "You have done well. Please teach this to others so that they may act in the same way."
Ekata suniya sabbe sankuchita hana bala mati karma kare sabba manadhiya.
As soon as they heard Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu say this, everyone became ashamed. Thus, the devotees began to work with great attention.
Tabe prakshalana kaile Sri Jagamohana boga mandir aditabe kaila prakshalana.
They washed the Jagamohan area and then the place where food was kept. All other places were also washed.
Natashala dui dui, Natashala dui duila chat vara prangana pakashala adikari karila prakshalana.
In this way, the meeting place was washed, the entire yard, the sitting places, the kitchen, and every other room.
Mandireira chaturdik prakshalana kaila sabha anta pura bala mate doyaila.
Thus, all places around the temple were thoroughly washed within and without.
Hena kale godiya eka shubudi sharal prabhura charana yoge dila gata jal.
After everything was thoroughly washed, a Vaishnava from Bengal, who was very intelligent and simple, came and poured water on the lotus feet of the Lord.
Sahijala lana apane pana kahila taha deke prabhura manai dukarosha haila.
The Vaishnava, the Gaudiya Vaishnava, then took that water and drank it himself. Seeing that, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt a little unhappy and was also outwardly angry.
Yadyapi gosani tare hanache santosha karam dharma sangstapana lagi bahir mahalo rosha.
Although the Lord was certainly satisfied with him, he became angry externally in order to establish the etiquette of religious principles.
Siksha lagi svarupa daki kahila tanhare e dakka tomara godiyara bya bahare.
The Lord then called for Swarup Damodar and told him, "Just see the behavior of your Bengali Vaishnava.
Ishvara mandire mora pada doyaila
Sejala apani lana pana kaihila. This person from Bengal has washed my feet within the temple of the personality of Godhead. Not only that, but he has drunk the water himself. E aparada mora kahan habe gati, tomara godia kare etaka paijati. I do not know what my destination is because of this offense. Indeed, your Bengali Vaishnav has greatly implicated me. Shishi Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. Shishi Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. Sisi Gauranidhai Ki Jai. So now after all these verses, we come to finally to Srila Prabhupada's purport. How long have we got before we all disappear for breakfast? 8:45. We've got 8:45?
You can carry on longer.
We've got 9 o'clock?
Yes.
Anyone else? Any other? 10 o'clock?
Because Krishna does not get ready till 9:15.
Is it?
Yeah.
9 o'clock. Okay.
But the queue's ready at 9. Yeah.
Okay, anyone wants to leave early for the queue?
The yeah. They never come for the lecture.
And they should not eat.
Yeah.
No? Yeah? No class, no eat. So just keep an eye out, okay? And anyone who does that has to clean the temple. So, before we read the purport, I'm going to read the verses prior to this string of verses, the verse and the purport, because of course it all ties together. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first of all called for Kasi Mishra, then for the superintendent of the temple, then for Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. That's text 72. 73. When these three people came before the Lord, he begged them for permission to wash the temple, known as Gundicha. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Gundicha temple is situated 2 miles northeast of the Jagannath temple. At the time of Rath Yatra festival, Lord Jagannath goes to the Gundicha temple from his original temple and stays there for 1 week. After 1 week, he returns to his original temple. It is understood by hearsay that the wife of Indrajumna, the king who established the Jagannath temple, was known as Gundicha. There is also mention of the name of the Gundicha temple in authoritative scripture. Prabhupada doesn't specify. But Prabhupada goes on to say, the area of the Gundicha temple is estimated to be 288 cubits by 215 cubits. Then in brackets, Prabhupada says, a cubit is about a foot and a half. The main temple inside is about 36 cubits by 30 cubits. And the Kirtan hall is 32 cubits by 30 cubits. So we used to have imperial measures here, then we moved to the, what's it called? The decimal, what do we call it?
Yeah.
Metric. And now we've got cubits. So just to translate, the Gundicha temple, the area is, it's basically in feet, 432 feet by 322 feet, and the area is 139,320 feet, and the temple inside is 54 by 45 feet, and the Kirtan hall is 48 by 45. So what would you estimate this, the temple room here to be? How big are we looking at here? How big is this room? Any estimates? 20, you reckon? Anyone got a tape measure? Do you know, I actually meant to pace it out before I started class and I forgot. I was going to pace it out and say, well, this is roughly how size it is. So yes, maybe what, 40, 50 feet, maybe 25 feet, maybe 30. So the kirtan hall is 48 by 45. It's interesting how Prabhupada, in many of his purports, especially in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he gives details, geographical locations of temples and pastimes, and even how to get there by train, to make it real. It isn't some mythology. I mean, Krishna's pastimes 5,000 years ago, not mythology, but those places were only rediscovered under Lord Chaitanya's auspices, the six Goswamis. Prior to that, it was fields, maybe a pond here and a little bit. It wasn't Vrindavan that we see now. That's from Lord Chaitanya's time. So in order to establish the bona fides of Lord Chaitanya in his pastimes, Prabhupada goes into many of his purports. You think, well, why is Prabhupada mentioning a post office and a railway line and a road here and this and that? Because it's real. Yeah. It's real. So now the purport, the verse in the purport at the end of this sequence of wonderful verses. Ei aparada mura kahan habe gati tumara godiya kare itaka pai jati. Ei aparadhe. By such an offense. Mura. Of me. Kahan. Where. Habe. Will be. Gati. Destination. Tumara godiya. Your Bengali Vaishnava. Kare. Does. Iteka. Such. Bhaijati. Implication. I do not know what my destination is because of this offense. Indeed, your Bengali Vaishnava has greatly implicated me. I now do not know what my destination is because of this offense. Indeed, your Bengali Vaishnav has greatly implicated me. This is Lord Chaitanya speaking. So please repeat. I do not know what is my destination. Because of this offense. Indeed, your Bengali Vaishnava has greatly implicated me. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. It is significant that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Swarup Damodar Goswami that the Bengali Vaishnav was your Gaudiya Vaishnav. Your Gaudiya Vaishnav. This means that all Gaudiya Vaishnavs who are followers of the Chaitanya cult are subordinate to Swarup Damodar Goswami. The parampara system is very strictly observed by Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's personal secretary was Swarup Damodar Goswami. The next group of devotees was the six Goswamis, then Kaviraj Goswami. It is necessary to observe the parampara system of the Chaitanya cult. There are many offences one can commit while serving the Lord, and these are described in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Hari Bhakti Vilas, and other books. According to the rules and regulations, no one should accept obeisances in the temple of the Lord before the deity. This is considered an offence. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself was personally the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, it was not actually offensive to wash his lotus feet in the temple. However, because he was playing the part of an acharya, the Lord considered himself an ordinary human being. He also wanted to give instructions to ordinary human beings The point is that even though one plays the part of a spiritual master, he should not accept obeisances or permit a disciple to wash his feet before the deity. This is a matter of etiquette. Om Aginata Manandasya Janandana Sarakaya Chakshura Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guru Venama Shri Chaitanya Manabhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadam Yam Nathisvabhadantikam. Well, we can start by mentioning this topic of obeisances. Perhaps we shouldn't offer our obeisances to each other in the temple. But I would like to mention obeisances, and I've mentioned it once or twice before. Entering the temple, one should offer obeisances. And when the curtains close or open, one should offer obeisances. And when one leaves the temple, we should offer obeisances. And after a kirtan, we should offer obeisances. Before prasadam, we should offer obeisances. And after prasadam, we should offer obeisances. It's Krishna, 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 Krishna all the way through. Krishna's there on the altar. Krishna's there as prasadam. And Krishna comes as a devotee as well. It's not a formality. It's because initially it may be, but one should be joyful to offer obeisances. Should be joyous. A joyous thing. We shouldn't neglect. Long time ago, when I lived in a temple, offering obeisances, especially in the temple, it was especially joyous. Personally, I found that the lack of sleep was the most difficult austerity in the temple. And to offer one's full prostrated dandabats for 10 seconds was, oh. And then we got up and got to. But it was actually, of course, that isn't the purpose of obeisances. We shouldn't understand that. But there are some side benefits. Benefits are very. But the obeisance should be in the heart. There has to be, that's humility. Obeisances should come from the heart. Sometimes it's only external, and we have to work on that. We have to internalize it. Everything in the Krishna consciousness process is a process of internalization. Everything, all of it. We see all these wonderful purports of Srila Prabhupada and the activities the external activities of the great acharyas and the pure devotees are an expression of their inner state. They're an externalization of what's going on inside. They're externalizing it. Whereas the neophytes like myself, we do something externally to try and make a change inside. Whereas the devotees, the great Mahabhagavats, they're already pure. They make external changes to try and induce others to take up the process. So one is flowing from the outside in, and for the neophytes, the devotees, we're doing things on the outside to try and make the shift within. So this brings us to the whole cleansing of the Gunjita temple, which is about cleansing. On every level, not just cleansing the temple. So, I see the water has disappeared. It's okay. I'm not thirsty. I'm okay. It's okay. Thank you. If I get thirsty, I'll suck my dhoti. I've got some. It's very timely. It's very. It's called synchronicity, isn't it? Sometimes things happen. Oh God. It could have been a much more serious class. I don't know what would have happened then. Maybe the microphone would have blown up but anyway, it's about cleansing. So cleansing is the whole purpose of Krishna consciousness, bhakti. It's to cleanse our intention. To cleanse the heart. And the heart is the seat of intention. The soul cannot, the Prabhupada uses the word desire. It's the same thing, intention, desire. But intention is very deep. What's my intention? So cleansing intention, it's paramount, the whole purpose. Yeah. And that's right at the core. So So cleansing can take place on different levels, this cleansing of Krishna's temple. And as we clean Krishna's temple, we feel a cleansing within ourselves. That's the idea. We should embrace that cleansing. Prabhupada, at least on one occasion, he once said that the most advanced devotee in the temple might be the one who's cleaning the toilets. Most advanced. In other words, the one whose intention is pure. So an external post or a role, it may have big responsibilities, but it may be, we're mixed generally. Until we're pure devotees, we're mixed because our intentions are mixed. We're doing something for the acharya and the spiritual master, but we have a side agenda. It's going to make me famous, it's going to make me popular, it's going to make me some money, it's going to do this, it's going to do that, it'll advance my career, or some even darker motives. So this is mixed devotional service. But as much as we purify our intention, then our progress is there, and we also infuse and enliven others. Others become inspired. So this cleanliness of the temple, that's our environment. Our immediate environment is what? What's our immediate environment for every single one of us? Body, yes. And mind, yes. So one step in from this environment is the body. And as they say, cleanliness is next to godliness. Prabhupada uses that phrase so many times in his purports. It's a well-known phrase, cleanliness next to godliness. And we look at about it. If, generally speaking, the body's not clean because of the various secretions which come out of the body. It's a really messy thing. We're not going to dwell on this, but the body is a... It's a... And if you don't bathe for a few days, oof, you know. There's things oozing. Then we have 9 gates in the body. 2, 4, 6, 7, 8, 9. And they're all secreting different substances, which we have to keep clean. In fact, the entire skin, we ooze out perspiration. Isn't it? It's a big business, underarm deodorants. Massive business. Because, time to take a bath, Prabhu. But no, devotees take bath at least once a day. In fact, even the materialists often take, they take a shower. It's becoming quite popular these days. Didn't used to be. It was a time when a man would come back from the mine, or especially the coal mine, because he's just absolutely covered in coal dust. And his wife would set a tin bath in front of the coal fire, and he'd have a bath in a little thing like this, you know, every day. Of course, that's extreme. You work down a coal mine, you're going to get very dirty. So, cleanliness of body and mind. In one of Prabhupada's purports, he mentioned a rather extreme process of cleansing. Because cleansing, we should probably, as we all know, water and soap, you know. And if there's no soap available, when one takes bath, especially in India, where you can take bath in a river or a kund, there's often dust or mud. And one can rub that mud on one's body. And it's very, very cleansing, especially if it's the holy dam. But that abrasive action of mud and water, it cleanses. In fact, I just recently saw a picture of a well-known devotee who's presently in the Philippines. And there's a photograph of him with a mud pack on his face. I don't know if anybody's seen that. It's mud. Ladies pay a fortune for a mud pack. You get a face pack and maybe on elsewhere as well. Because it pulls out the toxins, pulls out the oils and stuff in the body. And then Prabhupada says soap and water and oil. Oil is a way of also cleansing the body. The Romans used to do that. They'd soak in a bath all day. Well, not all day, but then a slave would come and scrape them, scrape down, and then get the oil on them. And Prabhupada also, of course, every day, midday, he'd have his massage, and his servant would give Prabhupada a mustard oil massage all over the body, and then sandalwood oil on Prabhupada's head, and then Prabhupada would take a shower. And when he came back, his midday meal was waiting. His servant had been preparing that. And one Prabhupada's purports, Prabhupada mentions a yogic, a process that the yogis do. The yogis do this process. This is not, it's the Hatha yogis generally. And I remember reading this in my teens. I got a book, a Penguin book about yoga. The Penguin, Penguin, it's a publishing house, for those who don't remember that. It's a publishing house, Penguin Books. And a book about yoga. And it was Hatha Yoga, and there was a Westerner writing it, and he was, my God, he was serious, you know, all the asanas. But it didn't stop at asanas. He had this process of, he snorts up a cloth up your nose and down the nose, and you can clean your nose up the nose and down back through the nasal passage out through the mouth, you know, so you can actually clean. For the cloth to clean out, and it cleans not just the nose but behind the back of the throat. And something I've noticed over the years, this is a little bit, it's a bit smelly. Excuse me, it's not, but it might be a tip to some of you. But we've all heard of bad, we've all maybe got bad breath, or sometimes people have got bad breath. But behind, I'm not an anatomist or a doctor, but there's a flap at the back of the throat that goes up to the nose, and there's like a flap back there that goes up from the back of the throat. And over a period of time, sometimes particles of food will collect up there, and they've nowhere to go. And it's like a little fat ball that goes bigger and bigger and bigger. This is for myself, maybe it's different for you guys. But, and you try and get it out, and it's really, when it gets to a certain size, yeah, it comes out, and it's, oh my God, the smell is unbelievable. It's bad breath smell. And I wonder if some bad breath is actually coming because the back of the, up there, is actually because of the secretions up there. We're talking about cleansing, so don't be squeamish, you know, we're trying to cleanse up. So this yogic process is to get rid of all that, but it doesn't stop there. Prabhupada mentions it in one of his purports, and it was in this book about yoga. I thought, my God, I can't do that. And the yogi stands up to his waist in water and actually pulls out his entire intestines. Cleanses his intestines in the water, in the river, and pushes it all back in again. So this is called colonic cleansing on a yogic platform. But I've never heard of the Bhakti yogis doing that. We take Krishna prasadam, it's much, much easier. But, so cleansing, that's extreme. But Hatha Yoga is actually quite extreme. It's really rigorous. It's very strict. Very, very strict. Very austere. But does it change the heart? That's a big question. Very easily it doesn't. Because one gets so absorbed in the austerities, which are severe, one becomes perhaps proud, or we begin to taste the benefits of controlling the life airs, and one gets distracted by mystic powers, etc. I mean, the demons were some of the greatest yogis in terms of austerity. Hiranyakashipu and Ravana, they knew how to do yoga. Not bhakti, because the inner change hadn't taken place. The intention hadn't been purified. It's all about intention. So cleansing, that's cleansing the body, then cleansing the mind. Prabhupada speaks about the dust accumulated for years together on the mind. The dust. What is this dust? What is this dust? What does it spring from? The word rhymes with dust. Lust, yes. It's lusty dust. Which actually isn't a joking matter, really. But yes, it's that, that dust is lust. And it, it permeates every level of our existence in the material world. It isn't just gross carnal lust, it's lust on every level. Love for profit, lust for profit, lust for adoration, lust for distinction, lust for facilities, lust for control, lust for... It goes on and on and on and on. It doesn't stop. Accumulated for years together. So what's that? Is it going to be 5 years? 6 years? A decade? How many years? Huh? Yeah, lifetimes. Lifetimes. How many lifetimes? Billions, huh? Any advance on billions? Countless, yeah. It's probably since time immemorial. There's no point which one can actually say, well, that's when the jiva soul first came to the material world. Unless, of course, that person is a ray of Vishnu. There are great souls who come here specially. Especially from Krishna's realm. And they teach us what are the standards of cleanliness. And Prabhupada was a good example. And he taught this level of cleanliness to his disciples and followers. When Prabhupada went for his morning walk, he was usually accompanied by his male disciples, especially in India. And the lady disciples, they'd clean his room. And especially in India, the dust blows in and there's a lot of dust around because it's much drier, apart from the monsoon season. So there's dust. And Prabhupada came back from his morning walk one time in Vrindavan, to his room in Vrindavan. And he said, who's cleaned my rooms this morning? And some, I assume it was more or less when Prabhupada sat down. So I think the lady came. The point is, she'd forgotten to clean, just like we had a cup here before. And in India especially, there's usually a little plate, tiny plate on top of the cup that fits on the top of the cup. Because dust blows in and flies go in there, or a gecko drops off the ceiling, something like that. It's to keep it, keep it clean. And the lady had forgotten to clean that little cup. Straight away Prabhupada saw her. And just like Lord Chaitanya, he's saying here, Lord Chaitanya chastised, but not grudgingly. So the chastisement from Guru is not grudging. It's to lift the conscious, to be more conscientious. It's about whatever you're doing in the Krishna consciousness process is being meticulous, doing it well, doing it perfectly. No, let me get this out of the way and do something more important. No, what did you do? Do that. So cleaning. Whatever it happens to be. So cleanliness of mind is there. And as Prabhupada says so many times, cleanliness of body with soap and water, oil, maybe mud, if you know soap. And cleanliness of mind by chanting the holy name. Yes, chanting the holy name. That's the simplest. And if we chant and we learn how to avoid the 10 offenses, our intention will be purified. Because if we're chanting with offense, there's a chance that we'll be watering the weeds which block our progress, which feed the wrong intention. We're chanting Krishna's holy name, and Krishna's always chanting. What does he want? What does he want? What does she want? Chanting Krishna's name. What does he want? He wants that? Oh, give him it. Yeah. Let him have it. But Krishna doesn't give himself. So the whole point of the Ten Offences, it's not like there's a karmic reaction to it. No, it's just blocking our progress. It's putting a ceiling on our progress because we're holding ourselves back because of wrong intention. It's to purify our intention. And it's the biggest challenge, purifying one's intention. When Prabhupada used that word, transparent via media, he used that over and over again. The bona fide spiritual master, the Acharya, is a transparent via media for Krishna's mercy, for the mercy of the Parampara, for the instructions of the Parampara. He doesn't get in the way. His agenda, his intention is to be a servant of his authorities, his superiors, and to serve that mission. He's transparent. Transparent. So that's pure intention. Pure intention. But cleanliness is not just there in our... We aspire for that bodily and mentally and spiritually. I was thinking about the various... Where cleanliness and the idea of dust comes into our worldview. And I just recalled how in Vaikuntha, the goddesses of fortune, they take great delight in cleansing the walls of the temples and buildings in Vaikuntha. They're all made of chintamani. Everything's totally spiritual, but they're absorbed in cleaning. Now, whether or not there's anything to clean, there's no... Is there dust there? I don't know. If it is, it's spiritual dust. But they're cleaning. They want to serve. What can I do? What can I do? What can I do? So they're cleaning the temples, even in and the palaces, even in Vaikuntha. So one goes to a holy dham like Vrindavan and Mayapur and Jagannath Puri. It's a holy dham. So one may ask the question, well, like you go to Soho Street Temple, there's a little bowl of dust on the counter when we go to the reception downstairs at Soho Street Temple. I don't know whether there's any here. The little bowl, it's dust from the holy dams. And put it on your head. Well, what are we putting dust on our head? Don't we want to get rid of all the dust? Isn't that what vacuum cleaners are for? And dustpan and brush, get rid of all the dust? Well, dust has different functions, different potencies, depending on where the dust comes from. The nature of the dust. You know, we want to get rid of the dust. Just the other day at the Gurukul meeting, with the Gurukul every Friday, not a lot, it wasn't packed out, but the children came in and the parents were there. And at the end of the evening, one devotee was using a dustpan and brush and sweeping up. You couldn't believe the amount of dust. Where's it all come from? It's unbelievable. So much dust. Just from a couple of dozen people coming in. But the dust in the holy dham, even though it's sacred, we clean the temple. It's Vrindavan dust. But you don't let the dust pile up in the temple. Prabhupada said his that little on his cup. The cup cover hadn't been cleaned. And yet, when we leave the holy dham, we take a box or a tin of dust with us because we want to get, you know, throw it around and, you know, purify ourselves and our house. My mother passed away recently, and I was with her in that morning. I'd been there for a few months, but I sprinkled some dust on her before she left, and in her mouth as well. So she had some good association. Dust. We wouldn't do that with the... We wouldn't open the vacuum cleaner and take this stuff, would we? Well, sacred dust, yes. And who is it that doesn't want to take the dust to the lotus feet of the spiritual master on their head? Who would refuse that? What to speak of the dust from Krishna's lotus feet? In fact, the devotee aspires to be a particle of dust at the feet of Krishna. So someone would say, well, these people are crazy. What, they want to be a bit of dust? And what's the embodiment of dust? What's the characteristic of dust? It's like a straw in the street. In fact, this whole pastime is collecting not just dust, but bits of straw and leaves and other bits and pieces. There's no bits of plastic or paper bags, but there'll be all sorts of bits and pieces. So you sweep it all up and take it away. But it's something that everybody walks on. So to aspire to be a particle of dust means one is feeling self. One is trying to feel that humility in terms of one's as a humble servant of the Lord. There's an apparent contradiction here. And Prabhupada sometimes say he's proud to be a servant of his spiritual master. So there's a pride to be a servant, but humility in all one's dealings. And yet at the same time, a devotee can be as fierce as a lion in protecting the devotees and the interests of the Lord. And the real power comes from humility. Strength, there's nothing more powerful than humility. Real humility. Actual humility. And Prabhupada, in one conversation with a devotee, Hari Bilas, I bless them. But what is real humility? What is humility? And Prabhupada said, he said, not family, not bank balance, not job, not prestige, not your car. He gives a whole list. Not this, not this, not this, not this, not this. None of these things will actually give you shelter, but only Krishna. In other words, recognizing that nothing in this world can give me shelter. My only shelter is Krishna. He said that's humility. To recognize one's complete dependence on the mercy of the Lord. There's no arrogance involved. The pride is being a servant of the Lord because he's my only shelter. And the devotee recognizes his complete and utter dependence on Krishna. And there are other types of cleanliness as well. Of course, cleanliness... No, not finished the dust example yet. A very nice example of dust. Let's look. This is a very nice, it's from the Bhagavatam 4:20-25. The translation, my dear Lord, you're glorified by the selected verses uttered by great personalities. Such glorification of your lotus feet is just like saffron particles. When the transcendental vibration from the mouths of great devotees carries the aroma of the saffron dust of your lotus feet, the forgetful living entity gradually remembers his eternal relationship with you. Devotees thus gradually come to the right conclusion about the value of life. My dear Lord, I therefore do not need any other benediction but the opportunity to hear from the mouth of your pure devotee. My dear Lord, I therefore do not need any other benediction but the opportunity to hear from the mouth of your pure devotee. So we are so fortunate that even though Srila Prabhupada is no longer physically present, he's present in the visual sound vibration of his books, the written word. It's coded sound vibration. And not only that, but because of the wonders of present technology, we can actually hear the voice Srila Prabhupada. And we can also hear and associate with those who have taken Prabhupada's instructions and everything to heart. And their vibration is very purifying. It's all about intention. If the intention is to please the Acharya, that sound vibration is very, very purifying. And in the purport, this is a very nice part of the purport. Prabhupada says, it's quite a long purport, but just a little paragraph. Again, it's about dust particles. A pure devotee always engages in the service of the Lord, taking shelter of his lotus feet, and therefore he has a direct connection with the saffron mercy particles that are strewn over the lotus feet of the Lord. Saffron mercy particles. What a very nice analogy. So mercy particles, this is dust. Although when a pure devotee speaks, the articulation of his voice may resemble the sound of this material sky, the voice is spiritually very powerful because it touches the particles of saffron dust on the lotus feet of the Lord. As soon as a sleeping living entity hears the powerful voice emanating from the mouth of a pure devotee, he immediately remembers his eternal relationship with the Lord, although up until that moment he had forgotten everything. And this is the potency of Prabhupada's books. This is why Prabhupada wanted all the books, the books, the books, the books. Nothing pleases him more. Why? Because Prabhupada is giving his direct association to whoever reads the books. Is there Prabhupada speaking directly to whoever reads his books? We may read them from the mental platform, in which case it's perhaps we won't feel that, but so many people, so many devotees who come to be full-time devotees, they say, well, I got a book, whatever the book was, and they stayed up all night reading it. They couldn't put it down. Totally transformed their life. I don't know how long you'd have to stay up to read the whole Srimad Bhagavatam, but generally we do it in installments. But by regularly hearing and reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, this is purifying the dust accumulated for years together. So this is a wonderful analogy Prabhupada uses. Although when a pure devotee speaks, the articulation of his voice may resemble the sound of this material sky, the voice is spiritually very powerful because it touches the saffron particles. Because it touches the particles of saffron dust on the lotus feet of the Lord. The sound vibration touches the particles of saffron dust on the lotus feet of the Lord. It's something to meditate on, and it might mean slightly different things to different people. But it's about intention, because the pure devotee's intention is pure. That's why he's called a pure devotee. He's not a mixed devotee. He's pure devotee. His intention is to serve the Lord. He sees himself as a particle of dust to fulfill the agenda of the Lord. Therefore, his sound vibration is pure, because his intention is pure. And it said that I remember reading some years ago, some devotee was amazed at how Prabhupada's mannerisms and gestures and features were always so attractive. He was trying to understand this. And he said some years later he read that the pure devotee embodies all the good qualities of all the demigods. Because his intention's pure, even the slightest gesture is pure. And devotees would fall in love with Prabhupada. Men and women alike. Shamsundra in his book, in his rhinoceros series, so many times he says how much he's in love with Prabhupada. Loving. And that key, loving the Acharya, is the key to loving Krishna. So I made quite a few notes. There's quite a few things I'm not really touched on. It's 9:02. Cleanliness comes in different categories in behavior, clean behavior, commercial exchanges can be insidious or they can be clean. Cleanliness, you apply it to every aspect of life. interaction between people, politics, economies, the environment, how we deal with each other, everything. Is it clean? Is it polluting? Or is it cleansing? Is it something which is cleansing? And in Kali Yuga, everything gets polluted. We shouldn't be surprised. Politics is polluted. The environment's polluted. Education's polluted. Money's polluted. Everything's polluted because the intention is polluted. It's me, 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 me. More and more and more and more. So, Prabhupada gives a few examples in his purports about how to be clean in various aspects of life. And as the chanting of the holy names spreads, and as the Prabhupada's books, distribution of Prabhupada's books spread, as people become more sympathetic and see the need for not just spiritual life, but especially the Krishna consciousness process of Lord Chaitanya, then we can look forward to 10,000 years of Lord Chaitanya's golden age. It's already starting. It's here. But doesn't mean to say it's a utopian situation. Prabhupada dismisses the idea of utopia over and over and over and over again. Not as if practicing Krishna consciousness you're going to find utopia. You won't. There's no utopia in this material world. There isn't one. Especially in Kali Yuga on this planet. But the opportunity to serve the Acharyas, to serve Lord Chaitanya's mission, and to cleanse our intention, to cleanse our consciousness, this is the wonderful opportunity which is there for 10,000 years. And after 10,000 years, all over. When Allen Ginsberg asked Prabhupada, well, what happens after 10,000 years? Prabhupada says, I will eat you and you will eat me. You can imagine Prabhupada raising his eyebrows and his big open. Ooh. Don't take birth again in Kali Yuga, because nothing here is clean. We shouldn't be surprised how dirty things get, but we can try to remain clean and not be too much affected. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Approval. The microphone. Yes, thank you.
Hare Krishna, thank you so much. Such a nice class. This desire of devotees to become a speck of dust at Krishna's feet, or I've heard they want to become a creeper in Vrindavan, then my lack of understanding of it seems like, how are you going to serve? To me, in one sense, it seems kind of impersonal. That how are you going to serve as a piece of dust? What are you going to do? How are you going to interact with Krishna? How are you going to, as a creeper, then what would you do? So is it just like a mood that I just want to be like insignificant at the lotus feet of Krishna, or is it like a real desire of devotees to, you know, want to attain that?
Well, let's leave aside the creeper in Vrindavan, because that's actually an eternal relationship is there. It's an attitude. It's a mood. It's an attitude of humility. One is recognizing one's complete dependence on Krishna and nurturing the desire to use everything, all of Krishna's energy, in Krishna's service. There's nothing. The only thing I want is service to Krishna. I'm not there. This is my understanding of it. Only thing I want is Krishna's service. And the prime example is talking of dust, is when Narada was asking Krishna, you know, who's the great devotee? And Krishna said, well, I've got a headache. You have to find out what's the cure for your headache? The dust from the feet of my devotee to put on my head. So he thinks Narada travels throughout the whole universe, and nobody wants to give the dust of their feet to put on Krishna's head. Why? Well, we'll go to hell. Nobody wants to do it. Except when Krishna approaches the gopis, well, yes, take. But don't you realize that taking that dust from your goes on Krishna's head, you've got to, that's all right. Just as long as Krishna's headache is cured. So they're the most exalted. They don't think of themselves as worthless. They're just totally absorbed. How can I please Krishna? And that degree of surrender and humility is very, very rare. But one should be more tolerant than the tree. Feel like the dust in the street. I'm a long way from that. It's an apparent contradiction. In fact, in terms of humility, Krishna is the most humble. Krishna is serving every living entity, liberated and conditioned. Krishna is looking after the interests of every conditioned soul. They've got their karma, of course. But every living entity, Krishna is looking after. Even those who blaspheme him and but of course Krishna doesn't tolerate the harassment of his devotees. He's very protective of his devotees. Yes, it's something which needs meditating on, but there is no contradiction. One doesn't think oneself worthless, but one has no material plans for oneself. It's seeing that everything's Krishna's, everything belongs to Krishna. And that change of, Prabhupada said, that change of heart, how to use everything in Krishna's service, and be really take that to heart, one's no longer conditioned, one isn't covered. Because everything's Krishna's energy. We're in the middle of Krishna's energy, but I can't see it because I'm thinking, how can I use it for me? How can I use it for me? That's material. How can I use it for Krishna? That's spiritual. I don't know if that answers your question. It's a thing which you can explore, and it's a meditation. Does that help? Hare Krishna. Anything else? Or we can go for breakfast. Bhagavat Prasadam ki. Chaitanya Chaitamrita ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Dust from the lotus feet ki.